I wish y'all would figure out how to have some fun with all this music. Man, that was just a perfect song. Perfect. Loved it. And that bass line was kind of jamming there, man. Yeah, yeah. Like you. So I think it's good for us to have fun in church. And for those of you that are online, you ought to see what's in this room. And know that for every funny Christmas sweater, pretty Christmas sweater, there's another person that's enjoying it just as much as the person wearing it. So we're having some fun. I'm enjoying being, for the first time in my life, a gingerbread woman. So there we go. Have I got my tie? There we go. So I don't know about you guys, but there have been many times in my life that I've heard church services, good preaching, inspirational speakers inside and outside of church, and when they're speaking a positive, affirmative message, sometimes I feel like, gosh, I am not that. I'm not feeling what they say I'm supposed to be feeling. And so this is partly because of my very traditional upbringing. Those kind of things had a little bit of guilt built into them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, maybe everybody else is feeling great, but I don't. And so when I talk about joy today, I am going to talk about the bittersweetness of it, because there's a lot going on right now. There's so much going on right now in the world, and this season is traditionally a time for a lot of transition, a lot of changes, a lot of heightened emotions. So I don't want to just speak joy, joy, joy. We should all be happy right now, because then I'm not addressing our common dilemma. You know what I mean? I am going to talk about joy, but I'm going to talk about it in a different sense than happiness. And this is my own personal theology, I guess, philosophy. Happiness is kind of a fleeting thing. Happiness is conditional. Happiness, it depends on circumstances and things around us. To me, joy has happiness in it, but joy has a whole lot of other stuff too. It has a depth and a richness to it that has to do with having gone through life and experiencing unpleasant, difficult, heartbreaking things, and being able to have a sense of well-being and peace in the midst of it. What was that last line you said, Aida?
Joy is peace dancing.
Joy is peace dancing. I just love that. So I'm going to talk about the realities of having joy right now, because ultimately that's the message. But I read this yesterday. Just yesterday I came across this. Funny how that happens. This is by a writer named Naomi Holt, and she writes a lot about how to live empathetically in the world and how it is when you are an empath or empathetic. So she wrote this right up at the beginning of December. A gentle reminder about why you are utterly exhausted. No one I know began this year on a full tank. Given the vicious onslaught of the previous 2 years, let's just call it what it was, most of us dragged ourselves across the finish line of 2021, frazzled, spent, running on aged adrenaline fumes. We crawled into 2022 still carrying shock, trauma, grief, heaviness, disbelief, the memories of a surreal existence. And then it began, the fastest hurricane year we could have ever imagined. Whether we have consciously processed it or not, this has been a year of more pressure, more stress, and a race to catch up in all departments. Are you identifying with this yet? To catch up in all departments, every single one. Work, school, sports, relationships, life. Though not intentionally aware, perhaps hopeful that the busier we are, the more readily we will forget, the more easily we will undo the emotional tangle, the more permanently we will wipe away the scarring wounds. We can't. And attempts to recreate some semblance of normal on steroids while disregarding that for almost 2 years our sympathetic nervous systems were on full alert has left our collective mental health in tatters. Our children and teens are not exempt. The natural byproduct of fighting a hurricane is complete and utter exhaustion. So before you begin questioning the absolutely depleted and wrung dry state you are in, pause. Breathe. Remind yourself of who you are and what you have endured, and then remind yourself of what you have overcome. Despite it all, you're still going, even on the days you stumble and find yourself face down in a pile of dirt. Understanding brings compassion. Most of the world's citizens are in need of a little extra TLC at this moment. Most are donning their invisible "handle with care" posters around their necks and "fragile" tattoos on their bodies. Instead of racing to the finish line of this year, tread gently, go slowly. Amidst the chaos, find small pockets of silence. Find compassion, allow the healing, and most of all, be kind. There's no human being on earth who couldn't use just a little bit more of the healing salve of kindness. With love, Naomi. So let's start there, shall we? Let's start with that big collective sigh. And an acknowledgement that in this season of yet again heightened emotions, we may find ourselves at odds with ourselves, not quite knowing why we don't feel quite in balance. Well, that's part of it. That's a lot of it. And so rather than telling you, this is a season of joy, be joyful, like I could command that, like anybody could, why don't we look and see what it is we can take into our hearts, encourage in our hearts, amplify in our hearts, that brings us that deep, deep satisfaction with life. You know that feeling that you get when grief comes and it just feels like it's shredding you? There is a way that we can lean into that and embrace it and know that we will survive it no matter what. And this time of year brings up all the old griefs, doesn't it? I mean, my dad passed just a little over 2 years ago. And this Christmas is the first normal Christmas without him. He died, you know, in the pandemic, and then 21, we were just kind of like tiptoeing back into church at the very end. And this year it feels like, gosh, it's almost kind of like back to normal, but not really. And I think I said this last week. I think what we miss is not what 2019 was. We miss the things that we took for granted in 2019. We miss being able to not have to think about what's lost. And so as we walk into this season, we have to dig a little bit deeper to find that wellspring of joy. And I love what the Daily Word says today. The Daily Word says that it joy in us is our fortitude. It's our strength. And I don't know that I ever thought of it in those particular terms. That joy is our strength, that joy gives us legs for life. And so what that requires us to do is to look at what it is we are relying upon for our happiness and go beyond. It's the little things that we find to be grateful for, that we notice for the first time. That's what brings us joy. Being able to look at ourselves and go, yes, I endured all of that, and I'm still standing. Or as she said, you know, I'm face down in the dirt every now and then. But here I am. Take joy in your resilience. Ugh. Are we tired of that word? But take some joy in that, because that kind of joy is the bittersweet kind, the kind that the prophet talks about, where sorrow balances joy. They come together. And when one is at your table, the other one is asleep on your bed, he says. And that gives us some reassurance, doesn't it? Sorrow's at my table, but I know joy is asleep right over there. Joy is right here on my table, and I know that sorrow is right over there on my bed. And it's up to us in a mature spiritual life to be able to marry those things, to integrate them, to say, yes, these parts hurt. And yet, oh my goodness, there is so much that is rich and beautiful. This brings me to my knees, and this brings me wonder. And I hope that we never outgrow having a sense of wonder. That's what this season is about, isn't it? It's what we see in the eyes of children. You know, it's too bad that part of the sense of wonder for children is wondering who this big man in the red suit is, whose laps parents are making them sit on while they scream in terror. And they will move past that, and they will begin to find the wonder of it. You know, today, we celebrate so many things this season, and it's too many holidays. There's something like 21 holidays in the month of December. Tomorrow is the first day of Hanukkah, to celebrate the wonder of a little bit of oil that lasted miraculously 8 days to light the lamps. And we today is the feast of Epona. Epona is the great goddess horse of the Celts. I didn't know that. I just happened to go through Facebook this morning while I was eating breakfast, and it's like, oh, today's the feast of Epona. And, you know, here's beautiful Celtic horses. And Yule is celebrated by the northern tribes of Europe. So we have many holidays to celebrate. And it's important for us to notice our expectations around that and give ourselves a break. You know, one of my kids the other day said, wow, Christmas, there's just so much. And in that sentence was everything. And I said, I make a pledge to you that to the best of my ability, we will have a Christmas in this home that is so low-key, you will feel no pressure for it to be any particular way or another. Wow, what a gift we could give each other. You know? What a gift. There, my mom and I were talking the other day. And the Christmases we used to have where all the grandchildren were all in one place, you know, even up through college and beyond, those days just don't happen anymore. It doesn't happen because of the circumstances of our family. And you know, the pillar, my dad, is no longer there. So it's not ever, ever going to be the way it was. And I grieve that. But that grieving paradoxically carves out a space for there to be joy for what is. Do you understand? And that is that's a challenge of our spiritual life at Christmas or any other time, is to be able to appreciate what is right here, right now. No matter how it looks, we can just appreciate it for what it is, rather than trying to carve and mold it into something it is not. That is the gift of our maturing spiritual lives. It's that. I was thinking about the story of Mary, representing a mother figure who's so happy and mystified and in wonder about this babe that she's bringing into the world, just like any mom would be. And then watching as that life unfolds far beyond her reach. And then an untimely death of that child. I don't know that we think about Mary that way. And you know, the good thing is, life doesn't hand us all of that in one big spoonful. We get it in tiny, tiny little bites, you know, as we're able to take it. But I have to wonder, just as for all of you who are parents know that as you bring children into your lives, every day that they grow is another day they're growing away from us. And so that extra heart that we grew when our children came to us, it changes over time. Nick, this is still good news, my friend. He's got one fresh from the oven. So I'm so glad to see you here today, my friend. Yes, I was hoping I'd get to see you during this Christmas season. Please give our love to Abby and Enzo, please. We can't wait till he's in church one day and we can bless him. I know, it's going to be great. So there's this sweetness. I made the announcement last week to you about my retirement at the end of March. Bittersweet. Bittersweet. And doing that, taking that step, it carved out that place for me to grieve and to be excited and be sad and be wondrous about what's next. And to feel relief and to feel guilt. You know? I don't know that we ever leave something that we love and leave people that we love without having a little bit of, oh. So there's a richness to this season if we choose to look for it. If we choose to say, yes, I'm bringing all of this that has been the arc of my life, I bring it to this day. I feel what I feel. I give where I can give. I give thanks all the time, even when it's hard. I give thanks. I am in gratitude, even if I'm not feeling it deeply. You know, you don't have to feel it deeply to be grateful. You don't have to go, hip, hip, hooray, I'm so grateful. You can just go, yeah, okay, I had breakfast. I'm glad. I had food on my table. I was really grateful this morning for coffee. That was kind of funny. I was just grateful for coffee. Anybody else grateful for coffee this morning or tea or thank you? See, that's what I mean, those little things. Those little things. I happened to watch a video of somebody who had trained the wild birds around their home to come eat from their hand. And, oh, let me just describe this to you. Some of you may have seen it. So there's birdseed and suet, and this person is perfectly still. And so a downy woodpecker comes and sits right here on the little finger. And then a lady cardinal comes. She's substantially bigger than the downy woodpecker. And wants that to be known. And then you see the downy woodpecker just leaning farther and farther away till he's almost perched on the underside of the person's finger while Queen Cardinal picks out the piece of suet she wants. Downy woodpecker gets ready to eat. And a little, a wood thatch tries to come up and the downy woodpecker goes, no. It's my turn. When it leaves, titmouse comes, gets its little piece. The woodhatch comes back and gets what it wants. All of them taking turns, eating off the hand, and I swear to you, I think I stopped breathing while I was watching it. And now I've shared the story with you, And your imagination has taken that story into you. And for a moment, we shared the joy of an imagined scene in nature. I'm still standing here like this, like the birds are still. Those little things. If you don't want to play Christmas carols on your home music system or in your car, don't do it. If you want to play the corniest ones, do that. If you want Spike Jones doing Christmas, do that. You want Bing Crosby, Dean Martin, do that. If you want the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, do that. If you want hip-hop, do that. Or be in the silence. Take a break, will you, my friends? We're still in recovery. We are still in recovery from 2020, 2021, the early parts of 2022. And you know what we've kind of lost? We've kind of lost our certainty about being safe in public, haven't we? And so we do the things that we need to do that are right for us to feel safe in public so that we don't get sick. But it's important for us to say, yeah, we lost that, didn't we? Seeing masks in public is kind of like what we've been seeing in the Asian countries for many, many years to protect each other from contagious diseases. Now we are that. And we do those things this season that give us joy because we are giving joy to others. Whether it's giving a beloved child a gift, or whether it's making sure that our food bank has enough to feed people who don't have enough, whether it's making sure that we give food deliveries to families that are not getting food from schools right now when school is out. It's about doing something for our neighbor. Watch for opportunities to share your joy. Watch for opportunities in which doing something for another magnifies your own joy that you might not even be feeling at the moment. That's like boot camp spirituality, my friends. That's what we are doing right now. We're finding joy and having reasonable expectations about the Christ spirit within us, the divine, eternal everything that lives in us, having expectations that it will fill us up and that even our temporary human emotions, our temporary human feelings cannot suppress the wonder and the beauty of what already exists inside us. That's where our true joy is. So I want to make sure I haven't left out any qualities here. I think I have. Got them all. Peace, acceptance, inner rest, delight in the large and the small things, gratitude. One of the things that we do in this church is we pray for each other. I had a meeting just this week with our, I'm going to call it our prayer ministry people. It's our prayer team that prays all the time from their homes for the people who are requesting prayer from us from all over the world. Anybody that can access the internet and finds us can submit a prayer request, including you. And also our chaplains pray with people, especially in this community, who reach out to the chaplains and say, I've got a challenge. You don't have to say what it is, but there is joy in knowing that you can reach out to others to help you do what you feel like you can't do by yourself, because we all have those times. We all have those times when we need others to lift us up. I mean, we don't do this spiritual journey in a vacuum, do we? We really need each other. I mean, that's why churches kind of came about in the first place. It's like, oh, this is good. I love doing this stuff. Wouldn't it be fun if more of us could do it at the same time? And that's what we're doing. So when we have a prayer request from the from somebody in our community saying this is going on, or I have a loved one that this is happening for, our chaplains are on the job. Nick, I don't want to embarrass you, but I love that Abby went into labor and Nick emailed the chaplains and said, Abby's gone into labor. Pray with us for a successful delivery. That gave me so much joy to know that this community supports each other no matter what. No matter what's going on in your life. And it is an exchange of energy with each other, just about what I talked about last week. That when we allow others the opportunity to serve, we are giving a great gift. And we don't want to deny others of that gift. And so that's one of the biggest things that we do here for Joy. Unity has always been a prayer ministry. That's how it started out. To enrich people no matter where they were worshiping, no matter what their religion was. And I do mean religion, not just denomination. You know, it was interesting for something, for a religious movement, a theological movement, to be okay praying with Jews and Muslims and people who didn't believe in Jesus. Okay? Oh, that's another thing that brought me joy today. Somebody said, since we're celebrating Jesus, this was another minister. It was a picture of Ewan McGregor in robes, looking very angelic. You know who Ewan McGregor is, the British actor that it was in the Star Wars movies, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Are we getting any recognition here at all? Beautiful man, dressed in robes. I thought, if we're going to have a white Jesus, let him look like Ewan McGregor. But I digress. To be able to pray for other people, no matter what they believe, that's a gift. That brings us joy. And I can tell you, I want to show you right here. Y'all recognize our prayer box? Got a lock on it. Because when you put your prayer in here, it goes in here, nobody else sees it. In this receptacle, in this earthly vessel right here, are so many dreams, hopes, sorrows, joys, despair, gratitude, and probably more than I'm not even thinking of right now. It goes in here. And our prayer team and our chaplains do a little energetic prayer when they walk by this prayer box. You think that doesn't make a difference? It does. They stay here. And at the end of the month or the beginning of the month, they get sent to Silent Unity in Lee Summit, Missouri, where our Unity headquarters are. And they go to Silent Unity, and they go to that prayer chapel for Silent Unity, in which prayer requests from all over the world, 24 hours a day, are prayed over all the time. So you get a good dose of prayer here, and then it goes to Silent Unity, and it gets prayed over there. Does it give you joy to know that someone else prays for you? Around the clock? Wow. We're going to bring this into our meditation in just a moment. That was almost a disaster. I'm so joyful it wasn't. So I know the talk has been a little more serious today, but I think it's good for us to recognize that the season has some kind of built-in expectation that we do not have to rise to. We find joy in whatever way is right for us. We find joy that incorporates our sorrow and sadness. We find joy that incorporates our uncertainty. All the things that seem opposite of joy are part of joy. Do you understand that? Because we are human beings. We have not transcended this body or these experiences yet. And if we don't bring the fullness of us into the fullness of spirit in us, then we're missing part of the journey. And how do you do that? In your prayer, in your quiet time. Beloved, you do not have to be polished at prayer. I hear people say that, I really don't know how to pray. Yeah, you do. The moment your thought, your mind, your voice says, God, you're praying. And whatever your name for God is. Even if you say, Great Spirit, I don't know how to pray. Good enough. That's good enough. I don't know what I'm feeling right now. I don't know what to do about life right now. I feel ugh. May the Spirit in me rise up. Not may like possibility, but may like allow. You understand the difference there? I had a big debate with one of my minister friends about this. It's already there. It's what we preach over and over and over again in unity, over and over again. So as you look at what brings you joy this season, let it be absorbed into and with who you are and what your experiences are and where you are right now. And be so easy, my friends. Be so easy. Take a breath. Let your embraces, whether in arms or in eyes, in words, let your embraces be genuine and authentic. Take a moment. Today I've seen friends that I haven't seen in a long time. And my heart is full. My heart is full. I hope yours are. I hope your hearts are full. With everything that that means, may they be full. And if you need a moment, look at a single light. Be absorbed by that light. Do you know that's how we teach babies in unity to meditate? Get a little electric candle and turn off all the lights. And you ask the little bitty kids to look at the light. Look how pretty the light is. Let's just be real quiet and look at the light. And that's the way babies learn to be mindful. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I think if toddlers can do that, we can probably do that too. And so you might need a moment, you know, light the pretty candle that, you know, smells good or doesn't. And just look at the flame for a moment. Let your eyes be focused on one thing. And know that that light burns brightly within you, whether you're feeling it at the moment or not, it's there. Cannot be extinguished. So I'm going to ask you as we get ready for our meditation today. Before I forget, Dylan, I'm glad to see you. Dylan's already spent half of an academic year away at college. And watching this young man grow from the boy he used to be to the man that he is now, his accomplishments, his stretching, his fulfillment in these different stages. That's the kind of thing that makes joy that cannot go away, Dylan. So know that you have contributed. You've contributed that to us. Thank you. You too, Mama. So here, I don't even know how many pieces of paper are in here today. But know that many have passed through here. Leah, you got any idea how many prayer requests you've sent to Silent Unity over the years?
Hundreds.
Because you, in an act of faith, said, yes, pray with me. Pray with me. Pray with me. And so you have an opportunity to perform your act of service today and to bless these prayer requests, all the ones that came before, all the ones that are here now, all the ones that will come in the future. I ask you to extend your hands and your hearts and bless not only these prayer requests, but those who do the service of prayer in this community, either as formal members of a team or those of you who sit for whom prayer is an intention of your life. We bless this visible receptacle for the hearts and minds of all those whom we love. And so it is. So let's pray. Given you some things to think about this morning. And you may be visited right now by the ghosts of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas's future, and the spirit of Christmas today. All of it together in that wonderful container called joy. No matter what those Christmases have looked like or will look like, just be with it. No matter how you celebrate this season, with others or in solitude, with family and friends, large groups, small groups, two. Bring everyone you've ever loved with you to the celebration. Know that your heart is big enough to contain all of it. The things that have brought you sorrow and the things that have brought you great happiness. And if your heart and your body and your mind are still a little bit exhausted, bring your exhausted self right into the altar of your heart and find rest there. And if joy is that dancing piece inside you, then dance. As we go into this next week of busyness and engagement and reflection, let your heart be open. It cannot break, not permanently. Let your heart be open, for there is where you find the blessing, the wonder, the gratitude, the deep, rich joy. It is greater than your fatigue. It is greater than your apathy. It is greater than your unknowing. It is greater than what you imagined it to be. So, beloved, if you will, just put your hand on your heart. Let your hand find that physical place, or even on your solar plexus, the places where we feel deeply. And let yourself be blessed. Bless yourself for everything that you have been and everything that you are, everything that you are walking into the potential of being. Let the great Creator be your comfort and your guide, your rest and your inspiration. Walk in beauty, my friends. Walk in the light of the divine. And watch how kindness emerges, generosity emerges, strength and fortitude emerge. And may the peace of this season be yours. Beloved ones of joy, and so it is. Amen.